Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some really interesting guests for you. In the first half, we're going to be listening to the Possibility Principle with Mel Schwartz. And in the second half, we are going to be having Dr. Leo Trasand with us, and he is the author of Sicker, Fatter, Poorer, and it's all about environmental concerns. But here's Alan with the Health First News first.
Gum disease bacteria may play a role in Alzheimer's disease, researchers say. They studied dead and living patients with diagnosed and suspected Alzheimer's and found bacteria associated with chronic gum disease in the brains of people with Alzheimer's, BBC News reported. Tests on mice confirmed the bacteria, Porphyromonas gingivalis, could migrate from the mouth to the brain and that a toxic protein they secrete destroyed brain neurons. The bacteria also boosted production of amyloid beta, a component of brain plaques associated with Alzheimer's, BBC News reported. The study was published in the journal Science Advances. A large number of U.S. cancer patients with hepatitis B and C don't know they have the virus, which can cause life-threatening complications during some cancer treatments, researchers say. The findings suggest screening for hepatitis B and C may be appropriate in community cancer clinics, according to investigators from the SWOG Cancer Research Network, an international group funded by the U.S. National Cancer Institute. Hepatitis infection can lead to serious problems such as liver failure and kidney disease. The study included more than 3,000 cancer patients across the United States who had a blood test to check for hepatitis and HIV. The report was published online January 17th in JAMA Oncology. Fried chicken, French fries, and chicken fried steak might be delicious, but treating yourself to such fare regularly could be deadly, a new study warns. Women who eat more than one serving a week of fried chicken or fried fish have an increased risk of heart disease and death, researchers report. Senior researcher Dr. Wei Bao, an assistant professor of epidemiology with the University of Iowa's College of Public Health, said overall they found that total fried food consumption was related to higher risk of all-cause death and also death from cardiovascular disease. The findings were published January 23rd in the BMJ. While some people fight the battle of the bulge for a lifetime, others seem to effortlessly stay slim, and now scientists say it all boils down to genetics. Certain DNA helps decide whether weight gain is a torment or not for people, British researchers report. Study leader Sadaf Farooqi said it's easy to rush to judgment and criticize people for their weight, but the science shows that things are far more complex. Instead, we have far less control over our weight than we might wish to think, she said. She's a professor at the Wellcome NRC Institute of Metabolic Science at the University of Cambridge. The study was published January 24th in the journal PLOS Genetics.
We have Tal Ben-Shahar with us today. He's taught the largest course at Harvard on positive psychology. In the last 15 years, he has taught leadership, happiness, and mindfulness to audiences around the world. He's the co-founder of the Happiness Studios Academy, and he's author of 6 books, which have gone international, all about being happy in 25 languages. You're doing a lot for the world, Tal.
Hi, how are you?
I am very well. It's so good to have you on the show. It makes me happy. So how did you get into working with happiness as your main event in life?
Well, actually, what got me into studying happiness was my own unhappiness. So I was an undergraduate at Harvard studying computer science, and I found myself in my sophomore year doing well academically, doing well in sports. I was a varsity athlete, doing quite well socially, and yet being very unhappy. And, you know, I remember one very cold Boston morning getting up and going to my academic advisor and telling her that I'm switching majors, moving from computer science to philosophy and psychology. And that was 25 years ago. And I haven't, well, I have looked back, but I've been studying happiness ever since.
And you've had to learn a lot about computers in the last 25 years anyway.
I know, and you know, and in many ways, computers are bringing happiness levels down, or the advance in technology is not our happiness levels.
So spending more time with electronics than humans, do you think, is lowering our happiness rate?
Very much so. I mean, for a few reasons. You know, one is, number one predictor of happiness is quality time we spend with people we care about and who care about us, so relationships. But that doesn't hold for virtual relationships. In other words, it has to be face-to-face interactions. And second, you know, the more time people, whether it's kids or adults, spend in front of the screen, the less time they're physically active. And that, of course, impacts our happiness as well as our health.
Okay, so there's more depression on the planet than ever then.
There's more depression, there is more anxiety, more chronic disease.
Why is being authentic or true to ourselves so important right now in such an age of so much information and so much out there?
Yeah, you know, we many people are feeling lost. You know, they get up in the morning, they're bombarded by information, they're bombarded by option and choices. And while in theory, choices and options are great, and the more the merrier, in practice, it actually has the opposite effect on our happiness. Evolution didn't prepare us for having so many choices. It didn't prepare us to live in the information age, to have so much information, and we find it difficult to deal with. So we need to, in many ways, go back to basics, go back to simplifying our lives, our choices.
Mm. Do you have children, Tal?
I do. We have three children, 14, 12, and 10.
Wow. And how do you handle that with such an information age to keep them healthy and happy and focused on real relationships?
Yeah, first of all, not easy. You know, just related to that, research came out recently by Gene Twenge from San Francisco, UCSF. And what she found was that levels of depression and suicide rates among teens has gone up over the last 5 years, more so than during any other period that we measured. The reason, you know, when she was asked, why is that sudden and extreme increase? And she said, all their data points to one thing, and I quote, the ascendance of the smartphone. When kids became addicted, and I'm not using the word addicted as a metaphor. I mean, this is true addiction to technology. So, in terms of our children, first of all, we limit screen time, and it's not always easy because the comeback of the kids is, well, but our friend has more access, and why are you limiting us? And you know, our response is, you know, when you're a parent, you can choose to do what you wish, but this is what we're doing. And so we're limiting screen time. We're also, of course, very, very mindful and help them be mindful of what they eat. When they're at home, you know, when they're away from home, we have no control over it, of course, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And we keep on emphasizing to them, you know, all in moderation. You know, screen is fine in moderation. You know, eating a food that is maybe not natural and the best for you is okay in moderation. Mm-hmm. The thing is that in our culture, moderation very often is thrown out the window.
And the instant gratification of your screen and your games and that is another thing to teach children to learn to wait or anticipate rather than just plug in and go.
Yes, that's right, and you know, everything about technology today is being created to bring about addiction. So you know, so that the kids or adults spend more time in front of the screen, so that they don't leave social media, so they don't leave the smartphone or the computer, and it's been designed in that way, and it's been designed very well for that purpose. Mm-hmm. Whether the games or the videos or any other of the or the social media, and if you look, we're involved in a few addiction studies today. The number one addiction, you know, it's no longer drugs or alcohol or gambling. Number one addiction today is screen, and that is for adults and for kids.
Wow. And how do you know when you're enjoying it and when it turns to addiction?
So it's difficult. difficult to know because, you know, in many ways, you know, addiction exists on a continuum. It's not a 0-1 when it comes to a screen. Mm-hmm. It's more of a 0-1, you know, when it comes to certain drugs, for example. But when it comes to screen, it's a continuum. And the key is to limit screen time. And there are some good programs today that parents can use to limit screen time of their children. Most importantly, though, I would say to parents is lead by example. Because very often, you know, parents come home, and what do the kids see? The kids see the parents glued to the phone. You know, we have technology-free times. We have technology-free zones. It's unfortunate. You know, it's unfortunate that we have to do it, but it is necessary in today's day and age.
Mm-hmm. And do you help your kids get curious about how they feel after like an hour or two of computers compared to an hour of putting on music and dancing with their friends?
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's about raising their levels of awareness about the activity, and also it's about providing them alternatives and helping them with these alternatives. So you know, one of the you know, technology is very convenient. It's a very convenient, you know, it can babysit our children. So many parents, you know, who want to have some peace and quiet, you know, just let their kids do whatever they want. And that often is, in most cases, not all children and not all the time, but in most cases, they will be glued to the screen. Instead, you know, parents need to offer alternatives. Okay, let's play Monopoly together. Let's play a card game together. I encourage them to do sports. I see sports as the antidote to the technological addiction because kids enjoy it. They're doing it with other people usually. And, of course, there's the physical health benefit of sports. So going with the kids to the court, to the field, encouraging them to go out playing with them, and working together with other parents to limit screen time. Because you know, if my child's friend has unlimited screen time, well, they'll just want to go and spend time in their place, not in our place.
Right. Yeah. So getting out to play and really creating those endorphins from fresh air and exercise is the best way to help them really feel it rather than just tell them about it.
Absolutely. So help them create alternatives. You know, Maria Montessori, the great educator, spoke about creating healthy choices for children. You know, if I give my children the choice between being in front of a computer screen and or playing one game or reading a book, they're likely to go for the computer screen. But if the option is reading a book or you know, going out and playing, you know, whatever they choose, it's usually a healthy option. Just like if I give my kids the option between a banana and an orange, it's a healthy option. If I give them the option between a banana and chocolate, they're likely to go for the chocolate, unhealthy option.
Right. So lots of good choices for your children and keep the computer screens down to a minimum. How do the relationships in school or in business, the ones that you spend 20, 30, 40 hours a week with, how does that predict how happy you will be?
Mm. You know, interestingly, they predict first of all, very much so they predict how happy you'll be. But not only that, more and more research is pointing to the fact that these relationships also predict how successful you will be, both in school as well as in the workplace. It turns out that one of the best predictors of business success is the kind of relationships that people enjoy or don't in the organization. So, for instance, people who have positive relationships at work are less likely to leave that place of work. You know, retention is a big issue in today's workplace, as job hopping is quite common. So retention goes up. Creativity as well as productivity go up significantly when relationships improve in an organization. In schools, no big surprise, children perform better when they enjoy themselves socially. And again, to enjoy oneself socially means to enjoy real relationships, not just email internet relationships.
Right. Eye to eye. so that you actually see them. Tal, we're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have we're going to talk about your course and how you work with people to create happiness.